Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Welcome all of you here this evening. Every single one of you, welcome to the house of God. And welcome all of you that's joining right now on this live stream. As I always do, I'd like to introduce myself. My name is Pastor Teddy Santos from Baltimore Christian Faith Center. It's good to see all of you here, and I guess I wish I can see all of you over there, but anyways, thank you for joining. And I also do realize that some of you do watch the program here, watch the service after the fact. So thank you so much for taking the time and joining us in our Bible study. Praise the Lord. I'd like to get into the Word of the Lord right away. I don't have a long sermon per se, but I do want to get through a set of verses this evening, so we're going to dive right into the Word. So let us pray. Lord, we bless your name. We exalt you. Thank you so much, Lord, for the opportunity here this evening to share your Word, to share the Word of God. Thank you, Lord, for all of those that's watching this right now and everyone here this evening. Bless their lives, Lord, tremendously. And I pray, Lord, that the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, will open up our minds to hear and receive what the Lord is saying this evening, Lord. Be glorified, Lord. May your people see you and hear you and not me. Lord, we love you. It is in Jesus' name I pray. Amen. So, we all know of sayings, yes? There are countless and countless different types of sayings that happen, that are mentioned, in every walk of life, right? There are sayings, there are cliches, right? Who doesn't love a nice cliche, right? That goes along with the idea or the topic, you know, that you guys are discussing. Some of them are a little bit funny. Some of them are quite strong. You know, some of them are educational, you know, whatever the case might be. But nonetheless, they're inevitable. I know of sayings in three different languages, you know, in Portuguese, in English, in Dutch, in Spanish. You know, there are a whole bunch of sayings and cliches. Well, have you ever heard of the one that goes, do your own thing? Just do your own thing, right? We've all come across that one. Now, to be perfectly blunt here, to be perfectly forward, going ahead and doing your own thing might potentially have you going in the wrong direction. And this is what I want to talk about this evening. Is the concept and the idea of potentially doing your own thing and how that could be detrimental into anybody's life. Anybody whatsoever. Now, sayings of each generation come and goes. There are sayings that have been around for a very long time. There are sayings that are still being used to this day. But eventually, they're going to fade away. And now, as far as dealing with us, meaning Christian folks, folks that love the Lord, we must be aware of slogans, and we must be aware of phrases with the meaning and implied meaning that is carried along with such sayings. With such phrases, with such cliches, we must be careful. Sometimes certain things, we say certain things, we utter certain words, and we're really not supposed to say those things because, for one, it contradicts our faith. It contradicts your faith in God. your belief in the Lord. It could be detrimental in so many different ways. So we must be careful in even the things that we utter, the things that we say. To be ignorant of a word or even word groupings is not enough. It just won't cut it. Because our Lord Jesus says that we will be judged on our idle words also. It mentions that in the Bible. I'm going to show it to your attention right now. Matthew chapter 12, verses 36 and 37. But I say to you that every idle word men may speak, they will give account of it in the day of judgment. For by your words you will be justified, and by your words you will be condemned. So do you see here the significance of word saying? Everything that you say, everything that comes out of your mouth, believe it or not, is recorded in the Bible, along with your actions, along with your deeds. You will be justified, the Word of God says, or you will be condemned. So, even if you know or know not, it just won't cut it. Every idle word is going to be brought to judgment. And some new sayings are rejected at once by thoughtful people, by prudent people, as being unworthy to adopt in their own conversation vocabulary. They refuse to say certain things. Like, for example, one common one is, I am sick and tired of you fill in the blank, right? I think we all, once upon a time, used to say these words, right? When we are sick and tired, well, you are about to be sick, and you're about to be tired of being sick. And that's also going to bring you some tiredness, in addition to that, some fatigue, right? Those words right there, I've already completely removed out of my vocabulary, right? Along with so many that we can use as an example. So nonetheless, some of these sayings sometimes are even offensive at first hearing. Some of these things, just simply, we shouldn't even repeat some of the things that people say. But now, I want to get back to the topic of do your own thing. There are a lot of people nowadays that are simply doing their own thing. And they think that it's perfectly okay. It's perfectly okay for me to just do my own thing, and I'm just going to be here in my corner, and I'm just going to be here at peace. I'm not going to bother anybody. I'm just going to do my own thing. I want to speak about that this evening. First, the overtone of the saying shows no evidence of any actual standard whatsoever. None whatsoever. And I'm going to show you right now, starting off, the bad thing about doing your own thing. Doing your own thing has always caused trouble, has always gotten man in the wrong side of the law, or in the wrong side of morals, has been nothing but detrimental since the beginning of ages, as a matter of fact. In fact, I'm gonna say since the beginning of time, because I'm going to prove it right now, heading more towards the middle of my teaching here, I'm going to show you how, since the beginning of time, as a matter of fact, doing your own thing was never a good thing. The next verse I want to bring to your attention is Judges 21, 25, which says these words. In those days there was no king in Israel. Everyone did what was right in his own eyes. So now you tell me, was everybody doing their own thing when this was written? And where did that lead? And not very good, huh? It was not a very good thing. Here, no one had king, nobody was being ruled, there was no law, everybody was running rampant. And we know what the outcome was when this was written. Just anything will do. As long as it is your own thing, seems to be the implication right now at the verse that we just finished reading. That is just a part of the postmodernism that is prevalent to today's day and age. Right now, this doing your own thing mentality is starting to come back around. In various shapes and forms right now, especially with the new cabinet in office. Everybody now needs to have their own freedom to do whatever they want and to do whatever they wish. Now, this is what's called postmodernism, as we are starting to see now. And we need to be careful at what's coming right around the corner. The next thing that I want to talk about, and potentially even more serious, is that this becomes a lifestyle for some. This becomes a pattern, a way of living for some people that we must be careful about. Right now, with the mentality of people wanting to do their own thing, oh, I want to have my gender changed today. You know, I want to act differently today simply because it makes me happy. We need to be careful. This is something very, very much serious. And to the Christian, especially, this is a very, very foolish way of thinking. I'm sorry to be a little bit brute. I'm sorry to be a little bit straightforward. But that is not the right way that a God-fearing man and a God-fearing woman should be thinking, or even have these thoughts in their mind. This, for example, how about this one? To each his own, right? We've all heard that many, many times, haven't we? Uh-huh. And live and let live. We've all heard that before, right? Just live your life and just leave everybody else alone. It has nothing to do with you, right? It has nothing to do with me. So therefore, live and let live, right? To each his own. All of this philosophy has been tried before. And I'm here to tell you this evening that this philosophy is deadly business. Deadly business. Surely we would be foolish if we fell into the same type of pattern thinking that caused God's extreme displeasure and God's extreme anger in days that have already passed us. We would be foolish if we'd be going the same direction, the same way. Recently, I've been saying this in my past sermons here, past two sermons potentially. This past Sunday for sure, that the people from back 1,000 years ago, a couple thousand years ago, 3,000 years ago, are the same as today, minus iPhones. That's the only difference. Minus diesel and gasoline, right? They were burning oil, right? They had that. But nonetheless, they're the same people as you and I. So therefore, everything that applied to them also applied to us. And one of the real practical reasons, folks, one of the real practical reasons for the Old Testament being available for you and I today is that we might know Romans chapter 15, verses 4, that say these words. Whatsoever... Or for whatever thing were written before, were written for our learning, that we through the patience and comfort of the scripture may have hope.
What the things that were written in the past, in the former time, before they were written for our learning. They were written for all of us. So, be careful of you wanting to do your own thing. Be careful of the thought and the mentality, to each his own. Now, I want to talk about those folks right now who did their own thing. I'm going to briefly show you some examples right now of the many things that we can profitably observe from the Old Testament and how God expects and demands that his word is obeyed down to the dot. I would like for us to take a look at some careless souls that took the matter into their own hands and quote unquote did their own thing. Does anybody remember here the story of Achan? Yes? You know the story, don't you? Achan? If in case you don't know, his story is preserved in Joshua chapter 7. You're going to find his story there. Now, before you arrive to Joshua chapter 7, earlier in chapter 6, the Lord God had clearly defined the city as a, the Word of God says, a devoted thing. The city was a devoted thing, and the people were not to partake of nothing in the city. Nothing whatsoever. Right? That city was separated. It was exclusive. It was a devoted thing. They weren't supposed to take anything from it. Everything dies. You can flatten it out. You wipe it out. Clean. Done. Like it never existed. Pulverize the place. Right? These were the instructions of God. It was very, very, very clear. Now, if in case the people did disobey God's word and what he said, this is what would happen. And now let's see that, Joshua 6. Joshua 6, verses 18, please. And you, this is the Lord speaking, and you, by all means, abstain from the accursed things, lest you become accursed when you take of the accursed things and make the camp of Israel a curse and trouble it. And yet, Achan, knowing God's instructions fully well, deliberately took of the devoted things and caused Israel to be defeated on their very next battle. There were a lot of men that perished on the very next battle. There were a lot of men that died. You know why? Because sin was in that camp. Sin was in that place. And no success could be had until that sin was removed. Here we see a clear example of someone who did their own thing. And now, potentially you might be going through something in your life. Potentially you don't know the answer, you can't find the answer. You've been praying about a certain matter for a very long time. Does this verse apply to you? Up until this sin was removed from the camp, there was no success. It was only death. It was only shame. Only embarrassment. Achan trusted in the simply doing of his own thing. And in the end, do you know what that cost him? His life. And not only did it cost his life, his entire family and all of his possessions. I'm talking about they took the dog. They got the goldfish. They took everything out of his pantry. They took his furniture, his clothing. Anything that was affiliated with Achan, his kids, his wife, his servants, if he had servants, his camel, his mule, his chickens. I don't think they had chickens back then. But nonetheless, I think chickens came like 300 years A.D. I was just reading. They had goats. I mean, you name it. They all got stoned outside of the camp. Yeah, that was later. But the point I'm trying to make is that you see the results of a person doing his own thing, and ultimately, that own thing that he did on his own accord cost him his life and the life of his family. Right now, this is a clear example of someone who is doing their own thing, and you can see how that thing affects the lives of other people. Other people didn't have to die because of Achan, you know? Other people didn't have to suffer because of his own doings that he did secretly, privately, but it happened. The next example I want to bring you right now, we find in the book of Samuel, 1 Samuel to be exact, 1 Samuel 15, which speaks about King Saul, proving to us that rank and position doesn't necessarily have any sort of privileges whatsoever. Just because you're in high ranking, just because you are a king, an official, someone of authority, that also applies to them too. The Lord God, through Samuel, had given detailed instructions as to the destruction of the Amalekites, right? But we find Saul doing his own thing, right where he had no rights at all. Totally contrary. Saul even decided to blame the people for doing this thing, which was displeasing to the Lord. Which brought Saul lost a lot of kudo points from trying to do his own thing. I'm just going to say it like that. Saul even decided to blame those that, these people were trying to do this and they were trying to do that and it was all for a good cause and we were going to offer it to the Lord. Thus proving that he was not a leader. He wasn't fit for the job. And the Word of God says that the Lord was so disappointed. That's the word that I'm looking for. Our Lord God was so disappointed that the kingdom was not only just taken from him, but his seed did not inherit the kingdom. It stopped right there. If you notice, the next king of Israel was David, that had no relations to King Saul whatsoever. And yes, the point still remains that the least, from the least to the greatest, all are under the same obligation to not only hear, but to also heed to the Word of God. You can listen to the Word of God all day long. You can attend all the services. You can go to all the conferences and to all the meetings and to all the seminars and everything else. But if we don't obey, if we don't act out, if we don't live the Word of God, it's just not going to work. You're pretty much doing your own thing. Others have also confirmed the truth of the matter that we are speaking of as of this evening. The Sabbath breaker who violated the law of God. Did you know that once upon a time was stoned to death? If you did not keep the Sabbath, how it's supposed to be kept, that cost you your life. Let me bring to your attention here, Numbers 15. We're going to go from verses 32 through 36. Now, while the children of Israel were in the wilderness, they found a man gathering sticks on the Sabbath day. Gathering sticks, folks. Verses 33. And those who found him gathering sticks brought him to Moses and Aaron and to all the congregation. They put him under guard because it had not been explained what should be done to him. Verses 35 says, Then the Lord said to Moses, The man must surely be put to death. All the congregation shall stone him with stones outside the camp. So, as the Lord commanded Moses, all the congregation brought him outside the camp and stoned him with stones, and he died. Whoo! Well, thank God for grace, huh? Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Whew. Can I hear a hallelujah? Praise God.
Amen. Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Lord. Boy, I can think of a couple people that I haven't seen for over a year. Imagine they all of a sudden show up and we couldn't find them here. We wouldn't let them get away. And then what? Oh, man. Let me stop right here. Right. Praise God. No, I'm just kidding. Thank the Lord for mercy and grace. Thank you, Jesus. Whew. Man, man, man. But here in this particular situation, man, the guy is picking up sticks. Now, I don't know if he had his donkey with him and he was just packing and piling up. I don't know. The Sabbath day is supposed to be a day of rest. We're not supposed to work. And the Jewish people to this day, they take this to the second degree. I mean, oh my gosh. You don't want to go to a Jewish hospital on the Sabbath, on a Saturday, and let the person you're visiting be all the way on the seventh floor or the tenth floor, because that elevator is going to stop in every single floor.
That's right.
Oh, man. It'll be a 10-minute trip just to go five flights, you know, because it's stopping in every single floor. They really take this seriously. But nonetheless, the Sabbath day was created for us to rest, for us to worship. You know, there's a lot of things sometimes that we do that brings curses in our lives. That brings things in our lives that aren't supposed to be there. You know, small things that we do and small things that we say. We might think it might be so minuscule, so minute, when in actuality, it's disobeying the law of the Lord. Of course, I drive a car. And I drive a car to church on my Sabbath, on my day of worship. You know? Traditionally, we go out to eat. Or we might eat some leftovers, you know, that day. You know, my wife doesn't cook on the Sabbath day for us. It's Sunday. You know, we worship on Sunday. That's God's day. On Sunday, I try my best. I mean, I truly try my best to take an afternoon nap. And I've mentioned to some of you here that when I take a nap on Sunday afternoons, it's like my entire week is awesome. It's so good. And I can always trace it to whether I took a nap that Sunday afternoon. And it starts with Monday. And not that I'm trying to enforce or trying to imply or make all of us take Sunday afternoon naps, but why not? Take a nap, right? Anyways, I am blessed when I take a Sunday afternoon nap. I really, really am. You know, this is why sometimes my eyes are a little puffy on Sunday evenings. It's because I was snoozing for a little bit. But my week goes great starting on Monday, starting the very next day, all the way over to the rest of the week, you know? That's that day that the Lord has blessed me with for me to just rest, relax, recharge, and most importantly, worship. Worship the Lord my God. And after all, I don't want to be stoned. So, moving on forward. We all know the story. I've preached about this quite a few times about Nadab and Abihu, right? Who offered strange fire. The word of God in Leviticus 10 says, calls it strange fire. And then what happened next? They themselves were devoured by fire that came down from heaven instantaneously. You could very much say that them two boys, they were just doing their own thing, weren't they? Doing their own thing. Cain refused to heed to the law of God concerning the sacrifice to be offered, and was banished from his household, and was banished from his family, all because he decided to do his own thing. He decided to give his own offering to how he felt as though should be offered. And you know, ultimately, the consequences. One thing led to another thing. And then you know the story of Cain. The first murder is recorded. Now, even going back even further to Adam and Eve, they got into some kind of, you know, trying their own understanding, trying their hand on understanding and doing their own thing, and pretty much being careless about God's clear instruction concerning their conduct in the Garden of Eden. They too were banned from the Garden of Eden because ultimately they decided to do their own thing instead of obeying the orders of God. All these examples and all these situations, they all come from people who took it upon themselves to simply do their own thing and thought that it was perfectly okay. And we all know very, very well how that all ended up. Can we not learn? And can we not be reprimanded by these real examples of actual people who walked on this earth? Can we learn from them and their mistakes? There's no greater lesson that can be learned from the Old Testament and even the New Testament also than the simple fact that God rewards the faithful and he also punishes the disobedient. God is a just God. He is a faithful God. The Lord our God does not want to see you struggling all the time. He doesn't want to see you walking with your heads down. He doesn't want you to feel defeated continuously. So potentially, I would ask of you this evening, search yourself. Search your heart. Search inside of you to see if potentially you are doing something just simply because you just want to do it and you think it's okay. And it's contrary to the Word of God. We find examples over and over and over again of these people. And also, it doesn't exactly simply apply to the regular common man. As we can see, this also applies to rulers and everybody in between, every single one of us. So in conclusion, I'm going to say this. Whenever we hear people talking about doing their own thing, let us remember that many have done such things in the past and have had to pay a pretty hefty penalty in doing so. It is good for a man to mind his own business. Yes. It's very good for a man to mind his own business and to not be sticking his nose into other people's business. Absolutely. But let us remember what the Apostle Paul said in Romans chapter 14, verses 7 through 10. May I have that, please? For none of us lives to himself, and no one dies to himself. For if we live, we live to the Lord, and if we die, we die to the Lord. Therefore, whether we live or die, we are the Lord's. For to this end Christ died and rose and lived again, that he might be Lord of both the dead and the living. But why do you judge your brother? Or why do you show contempt for your brother? For we shall all stand before the judgment seat of Christ. Every single one of us. We are all of us, myself, you, all of you here, all of you watching this right now, we are all going to stand before the judgment seat of God. So it's very, very much important that if us here living right now, for us to know 100% that we live our life for the Lord Jesus. He comes first. He takes precedence. I say this all the time. Our Lord God takes precedence. He comes before every single thing. So therefore, it is not good for you to do your own thing. Because we live for the Lord and we die for the Lord. He takes number one. Praise the Lord. Have we all heard of a musician, singer, / performer by the name of Frank Sinatra? Yes? We've all heard of him, yes? All right. Maybe I should have asked, who has not? There is a very popular song that Mrs. Sinatra sings that says, I did it my own way. Thank you, sister. My sister right here in the front, she's on point. Save, Lord, save. No, I'm kidding. I'm so kidding right now. You know where I was going with this. Yep. I did it my own way. And you know, if you stop and think about that title, if you stop and think about, you know, at face value, sometimes in a way, that's a beautiful thing. That shows independence. That shows someone who is driven. But we also must be extremely careful about that and doing things your own way. This type of idea might be potentially good for certain, but when it comes to how we are to deal with God, okay? When it comes to godly things, when it comes to neighbors, when it comes to your fellow man, our fellow brothers and sisters in Christ, It is not a very good thing if we do things differently than what is required by the Lord our God. It's totally different. So be careful. We don't want to get stuck doing something our own way. Pray to the Lord about it. Some of you might already know what needs to be done. Some of you might be running. You know, the Spirit of the Lord is speaking to you right now. You know, quit doing things your own way. You know what to do. Amen. It's better for you to do something sooner than later. We don't want to get caught up in the wrong side of things. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Let's conclude with a word of prayer. Lord, we bless your holy name. Lord, we love you. We worship you. Praise be to your name, Lord. Right now, Lord, I pray that the Holy Spirit will minister to the hearts of all of those listening to this sermon right now. Lord, there are many people who are doing whatever they want, who are doing things their own way. And based upon your holy word, we know that was never a good thing. Never, Lord. Lord, I pray for those folks right now And even those, Lord, for those that you've brought to my attention right now, I pray, Lord, that they will come to you, Lord, with a repentant heart. That they will come to you, Lord, in sincerity and rededicate their lives, Lord, to you and serve you how you want to be served and not how they choose to serve you. Lord, I pray that you will touch them, Lord. Touch their lives right now. Have mercy, Lord, on them. In the name of Jesus. And for every one of us, Lord, here, listening to this right now, participating in this Bible study, may we dedicate, Lord, ourselves 100% to you and not do things, Lord, however we choose to or in our own fashion, in our own form, in our own way. We want to do things, Lord, your way. Be pleased with us, Lord. Be pleased with our offering, with our deeds, with our commitments. May we, Lord, give our 100% over to you, Lord. And as we always say, we love you. And it is in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen. God bless you.